Thank the Lord for that prayer. Brother mentioned he was nervous. I don't think you ever get over that, brother. As ever, any time we go to the Lord in prayer or praying before God's people and have the responsibility to speak words to the Lord on behalf of the children of God, that's a frightening place to be in and of ourselves. And we know the only way we can do that is through the grace of God. And whether you're talking to the Lord for the people or talking to the people for the Lord, both of them are places that only God can bless us with what we truly need. I've been praying that he would just be with me this morning and supply to you what you stand in need of, as well as supply to me what I stand in need of. We know the Lord knows that better than we even know what to ask for. So I'm going to trust that he will lead us and guide us and direct us to the place that's needed for us today in this old world that we're living. If you have your Bibles and like to turn with me, my mind has been upon the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, a very familiar passage of scripture, one we've used many times before, and if the Lord wills, probably we'll use many times in the future. But yet it's such a wonderful passage when the Lord allows us to see it and understand it. And that's where all our wisdom comes from above. Every good thing cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, and then there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Matthew 11, verse 25, I'd like to begin reading in your hearing. He says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Here the Lord is speaking to kind of a mixed multitude, but also we know from Luke chapter 10 that these words were spoken right after he had received those 70 that he sent out, and they returned with joy. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1 says, "After these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come." The Lord not only called his 12 disciples and sent them out, but there were 70 other disciples that he sent out to go preach the gospel and to go declare the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And from about verse 2 down to verse 16, we see where he explains to them that calling that he has given them was not going to be without persecution and without tribulation and without trouble. But he assured them that though they would face a lot of those that would resist the truth and not embrace the truth, and they'd have to suffer a lot for his name's sake, that he would be with them as they go where he leads them, as they do what he tells them to do, as they share the truth. There would be some that would receive it, but there would be others that would not receive it. And his word to them was not to be discouraged, but to trust in him and press on, knowing that he had given them the power that they needed for the calling that he gave them. Now, they went primarily to the Jews because it was not yet given that the Gentiles should receive the gospel. The gospel, when it first came unto the Jewish nation, came unto Israel. And he first preached the gospel to the Jews. Until the time came where the Jews rejected it, they did not receive it. And then the Lord saw fit, and this was all in his plan and in his purpose, he saw fit to then open the door to the Gentiles. Aren't we glad today that he saw fit to allow us as Gentiles, born of the Spirit of God, we're spiritual Jews inwardly, but naturally Gentiles, that the gospel came not only to the Jewish nation, kind of like under the old law covenant, it was primarily given unto the Jews, though there were some of God's children out of every nation and kindred and tongue down through the ages. God saw fit under the old covenant to primarily deal with the nation of Israel and the sons of Abraham, and he gave them the oracles, he gave them the word, he gave them the law, and Gentiles, for the most part, were wrapped up in idolatry. Now, of course, there were some exceptions of that. We read of them throughout the scripture, which tells us, the Lord's even showing us there, that God did have a people, even then, out of every nation and kindred and tongue, and he does today. And so when the gospel first came, the Lord became preaching, he was primarily a prophet unto Israel, unto the Jews. And then he sent his disciples into all the world. Remember, he said, go ye unto all the world. Go into all the world. And that is unto the Gentiles. Now, that didn't take place until about the middle of the way through the Acts of the Apostles, where you see the Acts, they came to the Jews rejected them sufficiently, and then they turned from the Jews and went to the Gentiles. That doesn't mean they're not some of God's children in the nation of Israel. Doesn't mean they're not some of God's children who are naturally Jews. But really what he pointed out, today it's not about whether you're of this nation or that nation or this color or that color or this race or that race or this culture or that culture, but the Lord has given us the responsibility to, as we go, preach the gospel. And those that have been touched by the grace of God, those who have been given life through the power of the Holy Spirit, those that are spiritual Jews in the sense that they've been born of the Spirit of God, have been given a receiver to be able to hear that gospel and embrace it and believe it. And we're looking for those that are laboring in this world and are heavy laden. What that means is they've been made poor and weak, and they recognize they have a need. And the answer comes to them, you come unto me, those of his children. Now the 70 went out preaching, and boy, they were evidently greatly blessed, because even though they suffered, just like the Lord said they would suffer, they saw the power of a life that is following him. They saw the power of being able to even have power over demons and power over devils. We need that same power in this world today. We have many adversaries. There's spiritual wickedness in high places in this world. That's why the Lord has given us right now in this world the ability through him and what he did to even resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Let me read this passage here in Luke. He said in verse 17, Luke 10:17, and the 70 returned again with joy. So they had been out, and they'd suffered some persecution, but they had also been received by some. They had preached, and that makes a preacher happy when he preaches and people receive it. It makes you happy when someone has an ear to hear it, when someone has an eye to see it, when a tear falls out of the eye of one of those of his little children that you're speaking to, where a heart is moved and a life is changed, wherever the Lord moves. And I'm going to tell you, if there's a preacher that's ever been any benefit to God's people, it's because the Lord blessed him to be that. The Lord gave it to him first. And that's what the Lord had done for these 70. They had gone out, and there were those that had heard what they were preaching about the Lord's kingdom, and there were those that heard it. There was no doubt those that hated it, but there were those that loved it. And they had a joy in their hearts. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy. When God's little children feel the Lord's presence, we find joy, don't we? It's joy in my heart when I can feel the Lord's presence. So one of the good things about going to church is you get to feel the Lord's presence if the Lord's in the matter. And he says, and this is what they said, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now, how were the devils subject unto them? Through his name. How are preachers able to preach today? Through his name. How is it beneficial to others? Through his name. It's only through and by him that we can be what we ought to be. Even when he tells us to resist the devil and he'll flee from you, that's not in your own power, can you do that? Because you have to do what? Draw nigh to God, and he'll what? Draw nigh unto you. That's all right there. And I believe it's, and I may be all over the place this morning. Y'all just kind of bear with me, and I'm going to try to follow the best I can and not get too loud if I can help that, because got this afternoon to come, and I'd like to have a little voice left over at Martinsburg. That might help. And so he said in James 4 and verse 6, he says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Then he says, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. That's the point. We do what? We submit to God first. Because without submitting to God, you have no power of the devil at all. Remember, there were those who thought they had the power to cast out devils. And they said, in the name of Paul, we come forth. And in the name of Jesus, come forth. And they said, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? In other words, the only power that we have over the devil and the forces of evil that are in this world, and all you have to do is look around you, and it's apparent that we're in a world that's an unfriendly territory. The church is talked about as a militant church because it's like a military in a sense. We're soldiers of the cross. We can't expect this world to be your home and to help you on to God. You can't expect that the devil will not attack. But I want you to know the devil is not in the position and place that he was before the Lord came. Because when the Lord came, he put him in his place. Now the devil has always been subject to the God of heaven. He's never been equal with God. He'd like to let you think he's equal with God. And even would like to think, let you think that he's greater than God. And he will lie to you and deceive you and cause you to believe that. But here's the good news. The devil has never been equal to our God. He is not the creator. He was a created being. And he was made good. And I don't understand all about this, but I know that he was made good and then he fell. And he fell, and all the angels that fell, they fell. And there's no redemption for the devil and the angels. The Lord didn't send Jesus to save devils and angels. Fallen angels. He didn't do that. Somebody said, well, why didn't God do that? Well, that's God. Here's a wonderful thing about God. Our God, and that's what this is teaching, if I get to it. It's teaching that God does what he pleases to do, when he pleases to do it, and the way that he pleases to do it. And he doesn't have to check in with the angels, or me, or you, or anyone else. And everything that God does is good and right. Everything that God does, everything that God does, we know that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And though I don't understand all about things, and when I get into things I don't understand, the best thing for me to do is keep quiet about those. Because when I get that place and I start speculating, that's when I get the church mixed up and I get mixed up also. When we stick to what is written, we stick to what the Lord's given us, and we know from his word that if you submit yourselves unto God, therefore unto God. Now, how do you do that? We can't do that without the Lord. He has to first work in you. He has to first open your eyes, your ears, your heart. He has to give you the ability to want to, the desire to do that, and the knowledge to know there is a God. That has to be by faith. The world by wisdom knows not God. And we don't know, we would not have any interest in learning more about God. And we certainly wouldn't have any personal relationship with the Lord. Men talk about today, you need to build a personal relationship with the Lord. But if the Lord hasn't known you before the foundation of the world, and then quickened you and made you alive, you don't desire a relationship with Him. As a matter of fact, you don't know Him. You cannot know Him. What's good is that all those that know that He knew, and the foundation, remember, of God stand is sure, having this seal. What is that seal? The Lord knoweth them that are His. God made a choice. He chose His people. And He sent His Son to save His people. And the Son came and saved His people. And at the time the Lord is appointed, every one of His people that God the Father sent Him for, that Jesus died for, the Holy Spirit moves in their lives, moves in our lives, and quickens us. And that's what Jesus was thanking the Father in Matthew 11. He says, I thank Thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Now, who are those babes? They're His children. They're those that are born again, that have been made new creatures in Christ. We're told to come ye and desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. But He says, as what? As newborn babes. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. And that is a work of grace that's done by the Lord, and by the Lord without any means. He does it through the power of the Holy Spirit when He makes you a new creature. He doesn't use the preacher to make new creatures. He doesn't use the Word of God to make new creatures, the written Word of God. The living Word of God comes and speaks life to the dead. And until that happens, the preacher can't do you any good. You can't do yourself any good. Mom and Daddy can't help you. No one can help you. It takes the God of heaven to awaken you from a state of death and sin, which you're in by nature, to a state of life in Christ. So me standing before you and trying to convince you to do this and do that so that you might have life really ignores the fact that the only life giver is the bread of life, is the fountain of living waters, is the one who's the light of the world. He's the only one who can light you up. He's the only one who can feed you and give you an appetite for food. He's the only one that can give you life. He's not only the giver of life, He's the sustainer of life. That's why He said, come to Me, because I am the source of all that you need. These 70 had gone out, and they had seen the devils subject to them. In this day and age, can the devil and his demons be subject to us? And the answer is yes, according to the Word of God. He doesn't have to sift you as wheat. And we see that so often in our own life. And in the lives of others of God's children, when we fail to submit ourselves unto the Lord, when we fail to lean on Him, when we fail to do what He said in coming to Me, when we fail to take His yoke upon us, and we learn of Him, and we go to His Word, and we let it sanctify us, set us apart, teach us how we are to react and respond. How quick can the devil come in your home and get a husband to say something to the wife that gets the wife upset? Or the wife says something to the husband and get them upset. And then the children get affected. And then sometimes men turn to the world to get through that. And they go to the answers that the world gives. You know what the answers the world gives? Things that are going to mess you up even worse. They're not going to help you. Now, if someone comes from the Word of God and gives you answers, that will help you. And that means it came from the Lord. That's part of taking His yoke upon you and learning of Him. It's part of living, shining forth the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not told just to live any old way, walk any old way, or talk any old way. That's not what the 70 did when they went out preaching. They went out doing what the Lord gave them to do. And they found that even the devils were subject unto them through His name. But Jesus didn't say, don't just be happy because you can overcome the devil. Be happy about it. There are some things to be happy about. You know, we want to live a life victorious in this world, to where the devil's not sifting up as wheat, to where we have peace in our families and in our homes and in your own heart, to where you have peace in your church. I've seen churches rise up and even been in some of those battles where there was a division among the brethren. It wasn't because the Lord brought division. Listen, He's not pleased when there's division among us. And how easy can that enter in? How easy can a little jealousy or a little envy or any of those things enter in? The Bible says it can enter in very easily. Notice the fifth verse. And again, I'm not where I thought it would be, but I'm going where I feel led. Notice the fifth verse of James 4. He says, "Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" That means that our nature, by man's nature, we can become jealous and envious. It's in your nature. Somebody said, "Why is that in me?" Well, it's in you because that's what you adopt. You want to run your family tree? That's what you adopted from your line. Wherever it goes, wherever it leads you to. It goes all the way back to who? It goes back to Adam. That's where it goes. He made of one blood. And in that, you inherited it from me, Jimmy. And Gracie inherited it from you. And if she has children, the Lord blesses her with that. They'll get it from her. And it all came back and it goes back to Adam. And we don't want to be like Adam and blame his wife Eve. We want to remember it was Adam that fell. It wasn't just Adam that we died. We all, when we came forth from the womb, what did we do? Came forth speaking lies. We were born in sin, shaping in iniquity. Psalm 51 lays it out. David makes it as clear and plain. We were in sin and my mother conceived me. And that didn't mean it was a sinful act in my conception. It meant I received in that a polluted bloodline. That's why life is not in my biological parents. Now, neither natural life or spiritual life. If you're alive, it's not just because of them. It's because of the life the Lord gave you. But here's something to rejoice in. Here's what he said. Let me get verse 6 then. He says, "But he giveth more grace." See, you have that envious nature in you. You have that old flesh. And there's a warfare. Do you feel the warfare going on between the lust of the flesh and the Spirit of God which dwells in you? You know what that means? That means you're born of the Spirit. Because if you didn't have the Spirit in you, you wouldn't have the battle. I don't like the battle, but I'm thankful I have the battle because that's an evidence that God's dealing with me. That He has loved me. And that is something I'm to rejoice in. And that is where I'm to go to find my strength in this world to be able to face the day-to-day problems and the day-to-day troubles that I'm going to face as a fact that I'm born of man that's born of woman. I'm of a few days and it's going to be full of trouble. And in this world, though, I can be of good cheer. Why? Because He's overcome the world, and in Him He said you might have what? Y'all need some peace? That's the only place you're going to find it. You need some rest? It's the only place you're going to find it. It's not going to be found anywhere else in this world. Who are you talking to, preacher? I'm talking to God's little children, babes that have been given eyes to see it, ears to hear it, and eyes and a heart to understand it. Otherwise, we're in the world and of the world, and we can't see it, we can't hear it, we can't understand it because it's hidden from the wise and prudent and it's revealed unto babes. Can you see it today? If you can, there's something to rejoice in. Not that you have the power to beat up on the devil, although you do have the power to say, "Devil," and you can resist him. And the scripture says, "Submitting yourselves first, therefore, unto God," he says, "resist the devil and he will flee from you." Does he bother you sometimes? Is he there? I believe he does. I believe he's there. I believe that's why he gave us these passages in his word that we might understand that he is there. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 5 where he talks about how that we should humble ourselves before one another. And that is when we submit to God. You know what submitting to God will cause you to do? Humble yourselves before your brethren. You can't be uppity and high-minded and say, "I'm submitting unto God." In other words, some people get the idea I can submit unto God, but I don't have to worry about the Lord's people. Well, that's Jesus said what? "Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it also unto me." So when I get looking at my brethren like I'm better than they are, or more valuable than they are, or think more of myself than I should, what have I done? I'm really looking at the Lord Jesus Christ in a sense and saying, I don't really need thee. Oh, God forbid I'd ever say that. He says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And somebody said, well, see there, I'm an older man, so y'all younger ones are older. You ought to submit unto me. But notice what he goes on to say. He says, that's true, and that ought to be the case. But then he says, yea, all of you be subject one to another. What does that mean? That means the elder needs also to submit to the younger. That means we need to submit to one another. You know, if you operate in that in your home's going to be peaceful. If you don't operate in that, you got wars going on and trouble going on. That's what James said over in James 4. When do wars and fightings, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Verse 1 of James 4. So how can we live peaceably and peacefully in this world that seems to be so contrary to the little child of God? Especially when we have the world that's against us, an adversary and the devil that's against us, who would like you just to say there is no God and go another way, like to convince you that he really didn't do anything for you. He'll play with your mind. He'll play with any. He deals in the flesh and he operates in the flesh. When he attacked Job, he attacked his flesh, didn't he? He operates in his flesh. He even said, if you take Job and you allow and you take all the blessings away from him, he'll curse you to your face. I remember Daddy many years ago saying what the devil didn't know about. He knew a lot of things about man, but what he didn't know about was the new birth. He didn't understand that God had made Job a different man. God had worked in Job, and he's worked in us something that the devil really doesn't understand and know about, and that is that new creature that's born of God, that's begotten in you, that is leading you, as David said, lead me in the paths of righteousness. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If you want to be right today, you want to be right. You want to act right before God. Is that your desire? I'm not asking you, do you do it? I know what the Bible says about that. None of you have done it. None of us have done it. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've got grace, and that's what he said to be thankful for. Not that we can tell the devil, resist the devil and he'll flee from you, but be thankful for this, that your name is written in heaven. That God, before the foundation of the world, elected you, chose you, sanctified you, set you apart, gave you to his Son, and the Son came and died for you and paid the sin debt for you, and the Holy Spirit has come and awakened you. If you love the Lord today, it's because he first loved you. And he awakened you, and he didn't just awaken you so that you could be somebody and tell the devil to resist the devil, but he awakened you that you might live for him and honor him, that you might be with him in heaven in immortal glory forever and ever and ever, where Sister Joyce is, where Brother Stan is, where I believe my daddy, your daddy, I believe they're there in heaven rejoicing in the presence of the Lord right now in their soul and in their spirit, and they're awaiting the return of the Lord, who's going to come and get their bodies, and he's going to make them in fashion like unto his glorious body. And then we're all one day going to meet him in the air, and we're going to gather there in our resurrected, in either a resurrected body or a changed body, a translated body, and we'll be forever with the Lord. And the reason for that is not because of what we did for him, but because of what he did for us. And though the world, 1,000 preachers might stand up and say, let me tell you how to get into this. I want you to know, if you're in it, he chose you in it before the foundation of the world, and you can't fall out of it. What he's telling us is those who have been born of the Spirit of God and made alive, it's your name was written in heaven. When was that name written there? Somebody said the name was written when I believed. Oh, it was written a long time before you believed. Somebody said your name was written there when you went down in water, or when someone sprinkled it on your head. No, it was there. If it was ever there, I've been there a long time. It was the book, a book that was written from the foundation of the world. What did he say? He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And Jesus came to save that people. Y'all believe that this morning? He came to do it. Y'all believe Jesus is successful? I do. You believe He did what He came to do? Did He finish the work? Did He have power enough to do it? He said, all power is given unto me. He had the power to tell the old devil to do whatever He wanted the devil to do, and the devil had to do it. Even, and I often have mentioned this, but even for the demons to go into a herd of swine, that doesn't sound like a very popular place to go, they couldn't do it on their own. They had to have His permission. They even asked Him, says, suffer us to go into this herd of swine. And He gave them permission. And then what did they do to the swine? They went over and committed, they went over and drowned themselves. That would have been something to see, that herd of swine doing that. But it shows the power that the Lord had even over the devil. The Arminian world talks about the devil as if he has power to take your life, and Jesus doesn't have power to save you, and Jesus wants to save you, and the devil wants you to go to hell, and Jesus wants to save you, and then you're above them both making the decision on which way you're going to go. And they don't realize what that does. We got things out of position, don't we? Who should be above all? Who is above all? Not only should be. He should be in our thoughts and conscience, but He is whether we think it or not. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has all power. He says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. All of you, be subject one to another. Be clothed with what? Humility. And for God resisteth the proud, and He giveth grace to the humble. Proverbs 3:34 is where that verse comes from. He scorneth the scorners. He scorneth the scorners. What does that mean? That means those that cried and spit at Him, the Lord will take care of them. And if we end up arguing with God, we're going to lose that argument. If we end up battling with God, we're going to lose that argument. We're to submit ourselves unto the Lord because He's a power that's greater than us. And you need Him and I need Him. Without Him, I don't have the potential to take care of myself in this world. You don't have the potential to help in your family. You don't have the potential to be on the job the way you ought to be. You don't have the potential to do. I need Him in every area, don't you? I need Him every way. That's what He's saying. He says in verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the what? The mighty hand of God. We don't have a little God. We have a great God. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. And then He says this, and I want to give this to you. I'm not anywhere where I thought I'd be this morning, but that's okay. He said, casting all your care upon Him. Can you see that? Isn't that what He said when He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Have you been full of care? You've been full of concern? Been there. Right there. I need to cast it. Don't be like a fisherman and cast it and reel it in. No. You cast it. You leave it there. Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That means you look to Jesus. When you don't know what to do, you listen to Jesus. And to listen to Jesus is to take His yoke upon you. It didn't just say, I'm listening to Jesus, and then do what you want to. It means you got to get in His Word. It means you got to study His Word. It means you got to read His Bible. It means you got to pray, God, give me light to understand Thy Word. Lord, let me take Thy Word and put it on my feet so that my feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, so that I'm walking the right way, talking that right way, that as a young man or an older man or whatever, I might cleanse my way by heeding unto Thy Word. He says, casting all your care. How much do you care? All the big things. Didn't say the big things or the little things. And when you come to God, what's big, what's little? He says, all your care upon Him. Why? For He cared for you. When did He begin to care about you? He's loved you eternally. Don't understand all about that. I can't grasp all that, but that's true. Even before I existed, I was in the mind, if I'm a little child of God, you and I were in the mind of our God in heaven before we ever breathed our first breath. And He's watched over us from the time we were in our mother's womb until this very moment, and He will never leave you nor forsake you because He cares for you. And because He cares for you, He said, you cast all your care upon me. He says, be sober. That means don't be drunk. That means don't get wrapped up in this world. Don't get wrapped up in the stuff of this world. Don't get wrapped up in the money of this world. Don't get wrapped up in the message of this world. Don't get wrapped up in the false teachings in this world. Don't get wrapped up in anything contrary to what he said. We're to put first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that we need physically will be added unto you. He will open the door and shut the door. Have you found that to be the case in your life, that God will shut doors sometimes you won't open? And he'll open doors that you want, really don't want to go through. He'll lead you in the path of righteousness, which is a way you and I don't know by ourselves. The stranger's not going to err therein. You'll be led of the Lord. He says, be sober, be vigilant. Vigilant is to be alert and watchful. Remember this, every day you live, be alert and watchful. You've got an adversary that wants to mess you up. He'll say, go ahead and do that. That's what you ought to say. And when you say it, you go, oh, why did I say that? He wants you to say things that are contrary to God and the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to rob him of his glory. He loves to come to a little child of God and shake up his life. He'll attack your family. He'll attack your heart. He'll cause you to doubt and to fear. He's an adversary. He's not your friend. He'll act like your friend. You ever had friends in this world who acted like they were friends, but they never had any intent to be your friend? They're just using you. Now, there are friends that are real friends. Those are the ones God gives you. But there are other friends, that so-called friends, like the prodigal son had, that as soon as he ran out of his money, I'm sure all his friends were gone. As soon as everything that he had that was beneficial to them at the moment was used up, they went with it. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil — who is our adversary? The devil. He is as a roaring lion. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. Before I get too far with that, let's go back to Luke 10. Jesus said about the devil, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. In other words, I removed him, I brought him down, I have him on a chain. He's like a dog on a chain. He can only go so far. He can only get so far. You know, a dog on a chain, though, can bite you if you get where? Within the length of the chain. In other words, when we operate in his territory, when we start getting in places we should not be, when we look to the Lord. Now listen, this old devil can't go but so far. The reason for that is because though he has power, he doesn't have all power. The one we trust in is the Most High God. And we have an adversary, the devil, who has a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. I remember another statement, y'all forgive me, but my thoughts are going to my daddy this morning. I remember another statement he said on this verse. He said the reason he's a roaring lion is because the Savior had already knocked all his teeth out. He just roared. He acts like he can bite you, but he really can't. But he likes to fool you. He's seeking whom he may devour. I don't know that that's all right, but I just wanted to share that with you. I know this, he has a limited power. He is not unlimited in his power. And his demons, they would like you to think they are, but they do not have to take you the wrong way. Listen, when he is leading you in the wrong way, you can resist him by submitting yourself unto God through the grace of God, and the devil has to go. He's got to go. It says, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. How do you resist him? By believing and trusting in the Lord. By recognizing our God, our Savior. He's the one who's paid the price. He's the one who gave his life. He's the one that we're to follow. And he says, who resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, we're going to face the same problems that the world faces. Not going to be free of them. Following Jesus doesn't mean everything's going to straighten up. Doesn't mean you're not going to have kids that get sick. Kids you worry about. Not going to mean you're not going to have job problems. Doesn't mean you're not going to have illness. It just means you got to help. You have one to come to when you're burdened and heavy laden. Aren't you thankful for that, that your names are written in heaven? That's what he said to rejoice in. And he said, but the God of all grace, that's who we look to, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, that's where we're going. After that you have suffered a while, that's the part we don't like. But that's where we are. Yeah, we're not going to be here forever. It's going to be better farther on. As long as you're here in this world, it's not only kind of bad, it's going to get worse. You say, that's not good news, but it's the truth. It's going to get worse. This world is going to wax worse and worse. My old body's going to wax weaker and weaker. My eyes are not going to get better. They're going to get worse. My hearing's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. My walking's probably not going to... I might improve it a little bit along the way. But overall, it's going to get worse. And eventually, when the sin is finished, it's going to bring forth what? Death. But what a victory we have even in death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? We have one who's conquered the devil. He's conquered death. He's conquered hell. He's conquered the grave. We have victory in Jesus. After you have suffered a while, make you perfect. That is complete. Establish you. Strengthen you, settle you. And it is in a way that all glory and dominion is forever and ever in his name. Let me read this, and then I'm not going to stay here long. I'm about to close. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. This is Luke 10, verse 18. He says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That means outside of the will of God for you in your life. You don't have to fear. Who is our God? Isaiah 40. Can't hardly preach anymore without getting into Isaiah. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, that's our God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. And the power that he has, he says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. So we have strength in him, we have power in him, and we could stay there a long time, which I said I wasn't going to do. So he says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. What a blessing to know that we belong to him. How could we know our names are written in heaven? By the evidence of his grace in our hearts. That's why you love the Lord. That's why you sing praises to the Lord. That's why you have the ability to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And then look at verse 21, because that gets us back to our text, which I won't get to. But in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father. Notice Jesus here rejoiced in his spirit. He rejoiced in what the Lord had done. He rejoiced in the sovereignty of God. That thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father. For so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father. That means he has all power. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. That means you can't know God or the things of God. You can't know the Father without the Son. You can't know the Son without the Father. We can't know anything about him. We learn from him because he's revealed it unto us. Otherwise, we would be among the wise and prudent in the nature, in our nature. And the wise and prudent is not spiritually wise and prudent. It's naturally wise and prudent. You can't have enough gray matter, enough brains to figure this out. The world by wisdom knew not God. The more you trust in that, the less you'll see. Because it lifts you up where? Knowledge what? Puffs up. It puffs you up. Doesn't humble you. Spiritual knowledge humbles you. Natural knowledge, the things of this world, puffs you up. Gets you arrogant. He turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. You see this morning, then your eyes have been blessed. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of them desired to see the Lord come. They didn't see it. You say, well, I didn't see him come. Oh, yes, in a way, you didn't see it literally, but they saw it literally. They saw him. They were walking with him. But we see him that he's not only come, but that he died, and not only that he died, but that he rose again, and he lives. Doesn't he live? Yes, he lives. I know he lives. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I am his own. The joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. You felt that? If you've ever felt it one moment, it's because he loved you before the foundation enough to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you'll be with him forever and ever in heaven. And therefore we ought to cast our care upon him. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. That's to learn of his word. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He's given us rest about who we are as God's little children, of what he's done for us, and then we find rest as we take his word and live by it. That's how a young man cleanses his way, by taking the word of God and making it his life. That's what I'm going to live for. That's why we need to study it, read it, and then follow it. Not only be hearers, but doers of the word. I appreciate your kind attention. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.